Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I see you. Go fuck yourself. I see you. Just checking an email. Okay. Oh, fuck yourself. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you. Fucking balls.
What I did.
I see your balls, yeah.
That wasn't my balls, man.
Yeah. I'm gonna put it on live on the fucking air now. That's what I'm gonna do to you.
I don't care.
Yeah, you fucking care. Fucking
take it. You'll be in jail, not me.
Yeah.
I'll have a fundraiser for you.
Might be worth it.
God, what do you want? What do you want?
Okay.
Sharon, can you call the dog down and let her out? I think she's got a shit. Here she comes. All right.
Get my notepad ready. Okay. I just talked on the phone with Ross, the boss. He called me.
And?
Just because they're so retarded. I sent out an email like Sunday to his publicist, who I deal with all the time, and said, just confirming Thursday with Ross, the boss. We went back and forth all week. Yeah, give me his emails. You know, because they're always what phone number should call. I keep telling you, it's all video. So we go through all of that, and then I send out stuff. You know, give me what he's promoting. Give me what he wants to talk about. And then I send out an email right after I sent you one to say, you know, here's the link to the show. Thank you, everybody. He sends it back. What day is the interview? So I didn't see it because I was too busy emailing you I sent in out some other emails that I had to finish, and I get a phone call. I look down. I said, let me answer it. You know who the hell knows? Could be. It's, hey, Tom, Ross the boss. Hey, Ross, how you doing? Tom, what day is this interview? I said, tonight. He said, oh, tonight. I said, Ross, don't you guys all talk? I mean, it's your publicist. They told me they asked you. Yeah. I forget. That was the end of that one. So.
Unfucking believable, man.
Yeah. So that
just goes to show that they're just as retarded as everybody else.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. So we're about to kick it off.
I just want to run downstairs.
Go ahead. I'm going to do all the other shit, so don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Right back.
You got it. Let's see. I'm going to go live.
Oh, you want anything?
Face of the earth. But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday night edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. It's our three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all of the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. Guys, welcome back. Another Thursday. Boy, this I don't know if this year is going fast or painfully slow. You know, with all the stuff going on this year, this is one of the worst years. But it's a good year for the show. We've had some great guests. Last week, Rick Emmett from Triumph spent some time with us. We've picked up a third member of the crew. There's the second member, my partner in crime, Mr. Jeff Towinski. And, we got our bi-weekly segment with Rafael Esparza from mybookie.ag. But guys, it's another Thursday. It's a beautiful day out there today. It's been a couple days of nice weather, no 90-degree heat, and we're happy to be here. Football on the verge of starting. Baseball going. Hockey playoffs have been pretty cool. I will not even acknowledge that there is an NBA. We've had the DNC Snooze Fest, if anybody's been watching. And we're getting ready to kick off the big Republican National Convention next week. But we got a little bit of stuff tonight, guys. We're gonna do a little bit on some politics early. Pete Way passed away. Ross the Boss calling in. We're stopping by. Do a little Lou Gehrig for a few minutes tonight. The Undertaker versus the Undertaker. We'll get that up there in a little while. Quinn and Williams, Alex Smith returns. The Redskins. Remember, I said Redskins. The Redskins hire. Jason Wright, the first black team president. Keyshawn Johnson questions the hire. I couldn't find the audio on that for some reason. Joe Judge, no numbers on the jerseys. Very Belichick-ish. We'll get to that pretty quick. The Chiefs to have 22% of fans in their games. I'm going to ask Jeff to name one song from certain bands that says who they are. DeBozio, why is the New York City still locked down? Cuomo embarrassed himself. AOC nominates Comrade Bernie. Fernando Tatis has been vilified this week for breaking some of baseball's unwritten rules. We're going to get to all of that in tonight and play, and I'm sure much, much more right here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. But let's get this show kicked off. Hefe, how was your week, brother?
Week from hell, Tom. Week from hell.
Really? What happened, Jeff? What happened? What happened? Beard? You get gum in the beard? Something? No.
That would have made it interesting. Okay. My one boss is a complete jerk off.
Wow, Jeff. You know what you're saying? It's on the air. People can hear this.
That's okay. Screenshot it. Send it to him. I really don't.
Now, when you say your boss, are you talking about DeBozio himself?
No, I'm talking about one of my bosses.
Your immediate boss.
No, not my immediate boss. They said one of my bosses.
Gotcha.
Okay, Dick.
Is there a specific reason for this? For this?
Spawned into dictum.
Ah, gotcha.
Stay there. Fucking what a dick. Anyway, lots of hours of TV. I watch TV, working overtime and shit. This storm that lasted here, what, like an hour and 45 minutes? Fucking
yeah.
Made me semi-rich.
Well, I noticed I saw your post today about your $12,000 base purchase.
Well, no. I just used that. I saw the meme, and I thought the meme was funny.
Yeah.
But there's been many, many a time where I'm sitting there thinking, like, I might be able to pull this off. I'm not sure. But I've never actually did one because I wasn't totally sure if I could pull it off.
Gotcha.
So, but there has been times where I've gone up to the checkout, and I was like, you know what? Go ahead. Cut in front of me in line. Go ahead. So I sat there and contemplated. But no, I never... Never did a purchase like that.
All right.
Why would I ever spend that kind of money for a piece of wood and some copper wiring?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's one thing if you're playing stadium tours. You know, it's one thing to spend a few bucks, but
if I'm playing stadium tours,
yeah,
they're giving me that.
That's true.
I'm not buying it.
Can't argue that point. But speaking of stadium tours, we're gonna have Ross the Boss on in a little while, but. I think it's his fourth visit to the show, and we're going to officially harass him about being invited to his batting cage to go hang out with him. So we're going to talk to him about that tonight, amongst a lot of other things.
Good.
But, Jeff, you know, let's talk. Somebody's trying to call me somewhere. I don't know.
It's not me. I know that. My phone's doing it.
Actually, it's Carmine Glorioso calling. I don't know if I want to pick that up right now. Do I want to pick that up? I don't know if I can.
It's up to you. Where is he calling?
On my Facebook page. Like, I don't even know how I would get that even in.
I don't know. It may knock it off. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick that up because I'd love to have him. Don't get me wrong.
Send a text message to him.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him if he wants to come on. Yeah, I'll try to do that as I talk to you. But, you know, Jeff, it's been an interesting week. Let's get your thoughts right away, right on the Pete Way passing. I think that was something I wanted to get on to you.
It's a shame. I got into Pete Way via Michael Schenker.
Okay.
Years ago. I got into Michael Schenker first before I actually got into UFO. UFO, just a great heavy band. We had the chance to see UFO, but it wasn't all the original members, and Pete Way was not there.
That
we went to go see him. But
no.
I don't know what happened to Pete Way, because they said that it was he succumbed to injuries from an accident that he had. But I didn't get a chance to look it up, so I don't even know what the accident was. Do you?
I don't. I could not find it anywhere. I didn't do a hard look for it, so I won't lie and say that I did a hard look up for it. So, but, you know, fairly young man still, but a guy's had a pretty rough life when it comes to taking care of himself. So not
The first health scare, I believe. I think he had some other issues in the past, but a shame nonetheless, man.
Yeah, yes, a very big shame. Nice guy. Seemed like obviously he's one of those guys who's influenced a ton of people. Of course, Steve Harris being probably the most famous one that I can think of off the top of my head, but you know, great things with UFO, Fastway, Wasted. Actually, something I picked up. Didn't know he was on the Ozzy tour, Diary of a Madman. He was the bass player.
No, I did not know either that. But then again, Ozzy has had so many people come in and out of that.
But that's
band.
A pretty famous guy to have on a tour. Not for us not to know that. That's just kind of odd.
Listen, how long was he on the tour for?
Well, it says he was on that tour, so I'm assuming it meant he did the whole tour, but I really don't know.
No, I don't think he didn't do the whole tour.
Dad, I see you on the video. I'm going to pick you up in a minute. So I know you tried to call and you hung up, but I think my dad's hanging in the video, so I'll try to get him in there soon. So I wanted to get that in a little bit. I found that a little bit of interesting stuff. I know that Ross, the boss, was best friends or really good friends with Bon Scott, so I want to bring that up tonight.
Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah, and I read that somewhere today, and I want to ask if you knew Pete Way, but I figured we mentioned Pete Way. Let me see if I get a little video up here for Pete Way. Oh, I can't do that right now, shit. I will get that in later, but lots of talk about, Jeff. We're going to get to some – I want to get in a little bit of politics tonight because I did see you put up a bunch of stuff about your boss here. The man you voted for, your compadre, your boy DeBozio, as I call him, because he's a bozo.
Whatever you want. I really couldn't give a fuck less when they say the magic words, we're going to pay city workers. They got my attention and probably my vote. I go to work to make money, not so I can say I got the coolest mayor. At this point in time, this guy is just an absolute fucking idiot and sinking and making everything sink further into the abyss. He's a fucking tool bag. Like, you're taking more and more away from us instead of giving us anything. He's a fucking moron. I hope somebody coughs on him and he gets COVID.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, Jeff, and I want to get my dad on and Carmine and all this other stuff, but here's the thing I can't figure out. They had one death yesterday. Oh, there he is, Dr. It's Carmine. He's popped in now. But they had one death yesterday, none today. They've had a steady decline to near nothing. Why is the city not open, Jeff?
When they first locked us down, I remember them vaguely saying that it was going to be 2 weeks of a lockdown, and then it just kept getting extended and extended and extended.
Yep.
Now here we are nearing the end of August, and this jerk off is going on TV and the papers and saying that there'll be no indoor dining until a vaccine happens. Like, you're going to have this place is going to be completely fucking gutted. There's going to be nothing left.
But that's what they want. That's what they want. They want that for a lot of reasons, one being the election. This is what they want. They want to control every single thing in the city. And he's doing his best to tear it down. And unless Unless your boy Cuomo steps in and removes him, you're stuck for another year and a half.
Listen, I'm not going to get into all of that because you know how I feel about all of this.
Uh-huh.
I just think it's fucking stupidity. But I also, at some point in time, blame has to get put somewhere else too, because somebody has to tell Cuomo to tell de Blasio, knock off your shit and open this shit up. If there was one death the other day and no deaths today or whatever the case was, it's time.
Yeah.
Got to do a little something. I'm not saying, you know, book concerts for Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But let's get this open. Let's do something.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's going to come to a point in time where something is going to have to come from the federal level.
The problem is it can't. The federal government cannot force it. They can. He can push. He can throw them. He can take things away from them, but he cannot force them to open things up.
Got to do something.
Yeah. Well, listen, he's done everything he possibly can. He's basically told him, I'll do whatever I can, and he's doing it. But unfortunately, if they discern they don't want to open, there's nothing he can do about it.
There's a lot of things that should have been done. That's all, you know, these riots should have been stopped a long
time. Sure. Yeah.
A lot of things should have been opened up a long time ago.
Agreed.
You know, and once again, I said it on the show, and I said it several other places. It's going to be an egg on everybody's face.
True.
Everybody's face. No matter what he does,
mm-hmm.
from Cuomo, de Blasio, they're all three of them are going to look stupid when it comes to this. So.
Yeah, I'll agree with that to a certain extent, but I'm putting it on the governors and the mayors. These are their towns and their states, and if they don't do the right thing, there's very little the federal government can do to push it or force them to do what they don't want to do. He's a president of the United States. He's got to take a hit for it. There's no doubt about it. So, but
there's a lot going on. I understand that. And a whole bunch of stuff going on at one time. But I mean, this is total unrest.
Yep.
Total bullshit.
Yep.
And it's going to work everything long term. And it really doesn't matter at this point in time who's going to be the president, because whoever is the president.
No, I disagree. It'll be worse on the Biden. Worse. Worse.
Doesn't matter. Somebody has to fix it.
No, I agree. But the problem is the federal government can't do it.
I don't think either one of them is the person to do it.
No, I disagree with you. Here's the thing. I won't even blame Biden. He can't fix it. What he can do is make it worse by giving them money and giving them the things that they want to make it worse. So that's the only reason I disagree with you on. But let's get my dad on. Do a couple minutes with him. Then want to get Carmine on. So let's get my dad on fast. Let's pick him up on the phone. Hey, Pop.
Hey, Tom. I'm looking at you two guys on the computer.
Yeah, you're completely frozen on the computer, Dad. So I picked you up on the phone.
Yeah, you're frozen. You're doing the same thing to me. I see Jeff sitting there.
Yep.
And I see you, but you freeze up and then you talk.
Yeah, that's why I picked you up on the thing. I couldn't get you on the screen. What's going on, Pops?
No, just talking. You heard about the Mets, right?
I didn't hear him, but Carmine's on the phone, so I'm going to assume that he called in about the Mets. But what's going on with the Mets?
The game tonight was canceled, and so far the Friday night game with the Yankees is canceled because two people on the Mets got the virus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I did not see that before the show. I was on ESPN a little while ago. I did not see that, but
they canceled both games. Well, the Met game was canceled tonight, and
mm-hmm.
tomorrow it starts. Was supposed to start the Subway Series.
Yeah,
and I heard you talking before, and you can't go by, you know. Oh well, you know, only one person died, or
mm-hmm.
they were just showing you on the news. Park Slope, they had big parties. They were having a wedding, and there was hundreds of people there. And then they're
mm-hmm.
breaking them up. So people are 99% of the people are smart, but you always get that 1% of the people that are idiots. And
but
they
even with that, nobody's getting sick. Nobody's dying from it no more.
Are, Tommy. They're passing on. Okay.
How long can you keep people locked in their houses?
Well,
how long can you do this?
If it saves me from dying.
I get it. And again,
okay?
I think
I'm 72 years old. I don't want some little idiot in Target that doesn't believe that it's going to bother him walking around breathing on me or touching things that I touch.
I agree.
Okay?
Listen, I agree with you. But here's the other thing. I say, is it fair that the 25-year-old kid has to stay home because I could get sick and die? Maybe I gotta stay home.
Well, if the shoe was on the other foot,
well, I'm just
you
saying this,
do the same thing.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying this that if I know
the
I
rules,
can't
Tommy,
I stay home.
You're not following the rules. What are you doing, Tommy? Listen, you see them here in Asbury Park and in Point Pleasant. You got them no mask. They're on top of each other. And then find out later on that 25 people, they find out 25 people got the virus. Now you got to trace those 25 people.
Are you upset? You know I love you, but I never heard you one time complain and say, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, they had 600 people, 2,000 people rioting. That was okay. You know, so
what's the rioting got to do?
Can't.
The rioting
can't
be controlled. You can't control it.
That, of course, it can't be controlled. But you can't have a house party with 50 people, but you can jam 2,000 people on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Well, just because you're breaking the law doesn't mean it's all right.
But again,
I'm not arguing
the point. We got to be outraged about all of it or none of it. So I'm agreeing with you. People should do the right thing. I haven't done the wrong thing. You
listen,
haven't.
I'm not saying to people that are rioting or any better. That's your Mayor de Blasio and the other ones that don't want to do nothing about it. I grant
that's
you, they're 100% wrong. I'll give you that one 100%.
Right, so you're breaking up house parties in Park Slope, but you're not breaking up the riots. You're not breaking up the protests. You're not.
Two wrongs
you're not
don't make
up.
A right, Tommy.
I'm not disagreeing
don't make
with
a
you.
Right. Just because,
but,
well, let's talk about
no,
the
it
men.
Does. It does. If you're going to allow people to protest and say, yeah, well, they, you know, it's part of the greater good, then you got to let people do what they want to do.
Okay, all right. Then let them have a good time. Listen,
yeah, I think it's all wrong. Don't get me wrong. I think it's all wrong. But you can't give me the protests are okay. We can have a funeral for 500 people for John Lewis because he's a famous guy. That's okay. But you can't have 16 people in your backyard. That's, you know, to me, here's the thing. If it was that bad and it was as terrible as everybody's saying it is, if it is, and I'm not disagreeing, it's not. I had it. I know. I get it. Then they would not be allowing any of these things to go on. And they are.
I'm not going to.
That's why they lose me.
You know, yeah. Well, that's why he's losing. He keeps losing people every day. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking at the Yankee lineup today. I'm watching the game. They got guys playing in there that shouldn't be playing. I mean, three quarters of the team is on the IL.
Yeah, you know, Dad, it's the same old thing for this team the last few years. You know, they started out great, then all of a sudden Stanton gets hurt, the Judge is out. Now
Torres is out, too. Kleber Torres.
Okay, I didn't hear that one either. So that's probably why Carmine's on the phone.
They're not sure. They don't know how bad it is. But running down the first, he pulled a muscle. And
Jesus.
I mean, who's doing the training for them? And I still say this got a lot to do with the weights. I'm sorry,
I agree,
man.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you, Jeff.
It's hard
to argue that this is an every year thing now with the Yankees. It's scary.
And it's the same ball players.
I don't understand. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I asked you guys if you thought that Judge was, a bust because of the injuries. Stanton, I mean, every time you turn around, this guy is hurt. He spends more time hurt than he does playing.
You're right. He chews gums and he hurts himself.
I think this team was I won't say is right now. This is this is an average team right now. I mean, Frazier's had some moments. Voigt's played well. Ford's been okay, but you know, without these big guns, Sanchez has been terrible again. You know, hit a home run or basically strike out. You know, it's this team is depressing because they have the ability. They have to. They've had good pitching. The bullpen's been great. They just can't stay on the field.
I think the other way. I don't think the bullpen's been that good. Look at today.
Yeah.
They blew the game more like crazy.
Oh, okay.
And they're bringing these guys in one game. Well, I think it's more than one game, Tommy.
I
don't know. I find it every time you turn around, it's like you're playing the Girl Scouts. Somebody's got a hamstring.
I agree with you.
Sounds like Ricky Henderson.
I agree with you on that part, Pop. I am. I'm fed up with the Yankees
and the injuries and all that. Maybe they should stop letting them read the newspaper.
I agree.
Let everybody tell them how great they are. Maybe they think they're so great that they don't have to play these games. You know what's funny? And I mean this. I was watching the football, and I think Jeff would understand, too. I was watching the football game the other day of the old days in the 50s and 60s. They had Johnny Unitas on the field. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Unitas, but he was one tough ball player. They showed you on field. He snapped the ball. He got hit. He broke his nose, okay? They came on the field. They put cotton up his nose. And he stood on the field, and the next 40-yard pass for a touchdown. Now, I don't expect I wouldn't do that, but I'm just trying. I don't understand today. Yeah. It's like if your toenail comes through your sock, you can't play.
Yeah, Jeff, you handle this one. You know how I feel.
Yeah, listen, dude, it's unbelievable. These players today, they wrap them in bubble wrap.
Yeah,
I agree with you, Jeff.
You know, I have to hope that the reason they don't push them to play is because of how much they're paying these guys to be on the team, that they feel as though that they need them for later on down the line in the season.
You think
so
it's the money? Jeff, really? You think it's the money?
Play when someone gets hurt or injured. It, to me, that's the only thing that I could possibly think of. You can't
well,
tell me.
What was wrong in the 60s?
Their manliness and refuse to play because they got hurt, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I'm watching, and I'm watching them take cotton, stick the cotton, shoving him up his nose, Johnny Unitas. And he wouldn't come out of the game. He wouldn't come out of the game. They wanted to take him out. He just... You can see
it's a different era, Pop. You're 100% right. It's a different era. These guys are not built. They can't pitch more than five innings. Their arms are tired after five innings of pitching. They can't play a whole season. They can't get through three months without being hurt. You have a July to September season, and you can't get through without being hurt.
They got rest guys. Did you hear what he said? Boone said, no, I have to rest.
Yes.
And he said, you got 20, 25-year-old guys. I mean, you can't play 60 games. Holy sugar, man.
Think about it. You play 3 hours a night. Out of those 3 hours, you probably spend half of it sitting on the bench, and you can't get through 3 weeks without being injured. Listen, I'm frustrated. I've been watching, but I can't tell you, I haven't been as feverishly watching as I would normally. So I have to tell you, I'm very disappointed in it, Pop. We'll see.
I agree with you. Listen, I'm sorry. I didn't call you to,
No, Dad, I love it. I love the conversation. That's what it's all about. I do. I love it.
If your mother was here, I'd be getting hit on the head now.
Listen, we're not always going to agree, but as long as we love each other after.
No. All right. Listen, I know you guys are busy. Take care.
Pops.
Jeff, nice talking to you, too. Tommy, nice talking to you. Have a good show. And
thanks,
Tommy,
Pops.
I'll see you over the weekend.
I'll see you over the weekend, Pops.
I love you guys. Take care.
See you, Dad. Love you, too. All right, that's my dad checks in every week. We love having him. We can bicker. We differ. We agree on a lot of things, Jeff. But when it comes to politics, my dad and I never agree.
I hate to say this, Tom.
Go ahead.
I really do. I hate to say this, but I think your parents, my parents, they're at an age now where they're kind of stuck in their ways. They're only going to see things from one side.
Yes, absolutely.
And now, especially their ages now, they think like this – you know, COVID virus that, you got to be careful. You got to do this. You got to do
that. Well, they did because it affects them directly. Because it affects them more directly. And I understand that.
But they put a lot of belief into a lot more than we do.
Yes, I agree. Listen, I agree. We have this argument. There's another guy he's a doctor of sorts. More of an eye doctor, but he's a doctor. And he's on the phone. And I'm sure he's been giving my team the Maloikia. And I'll tell this. If he teaches you the Maloikia and it affects my Giant team, you're both gone. That's all I'm going to tell you. But let's add the doctor to the show. There he is.
Here you fucking go. Both of them, you cock. I got my balls busted all fucking weekend by three cunty fucking Yankee fans. Blowheaderman. Jerry Burt, that midget scumbag, and that 6'8" fucking droopy fucking clown prick, Andrew Myra. Stick it right in your fucking ghouls. The hammer! It's like fucking heroin. I'm on you. You can't get enough of it. I fucking jammed it. What happened? Britain went down. Who else went down? Are you ready? Gleyber. What in the fuck is he doing anyway?
I don't know. It's the first I heard that.
How are you, Jeff?
I'm fine, Carmine. I'm fine.
Enjoying this one.
I hear you. It looks like you are, man. That's a great thing.
So, Carmine, we don't have very long. We don't have very long.
He was making his little comments.
I had a couple.
The Jacobs had the broom fucking sweeps. I'm going to have a video tonight, and Dr. Rottencock is going to be here to make sure both fucking hammers are wide open. That's what I'm hoping. I want your Yankees to win 47 games and then get fucking hot playoffs and whine about this. And this was good. And they cheated. We didn't cheat as much as Houston. Know what that fucking response of we didn't cheat as much as Houston sounds? My friend sucked 16 cocks, but I only sucked 3. And I didn't even go. I went halfway down, just past the head. And my answer to that is, if you're that, you sucking cock, and you're a cocksucker. Jeff, you agree? All right, you sucking it. Can you put the head?
Wait, I got.
If you just put it in your hand, is that still just as bad?
Nah, you're a fucking degenerate.
The comments of the doctor.
Degenerate.
The comments of the doctor are his own. They are not. They
bullshit you said to me. I feel the same fucking way you said to me. Fuck the people that support me. What do they know anyway? They're probably liberals rooting for those fucking Portland fucking scumbags. Fucking our country, yo.
These comments are Carmine's. They're not necessarily the views of this show or the people who host it. But we do love people to talk and say what they want to say. And Carmine is one of our favorite.
The problem I have with what Carmine says is I've been asking him for the longest time now, and he just won't throw anything at the Giants. What the fuck is a guy got to do?
Tonight I will throw the Giants into this maloika. They're a little too fucked up over there. They got the coach there, tries to pretend he's fucking young Belichick. Okay, maybe he is. I have no hate towards them. Only when we play them, I hope their plane smashes fucking headfirst into the first mountain that they're about to land on.
Oh, boy.
They didn't make the runway. Too fucking bad.
If you could throw a little something special on Gettleman, I'll have the checkers in the mail.
Gettleman, because that guy's almost like fucking me with a stroke. The hog mollies. You look at this one. That's going to be good. What fucking lineman do they have there?
Oh, my God.
You can't tell me you're happy with that line.
I am thrilled with this line. I think this is going to be a good team.
Oh,
I'm picking 9 wins for the Giants this year. 9 wins.
Listen, they got
nine.
Leonard Williams.
At that point, why do you say 15?
Not 9 wins.
They got Leonard Williams. Look what they invested in Leonard Williams.
Leonard Williams. When the Jets traded him, the Giants went, I got a fucking third round. Why? I was like, oh, my God. Who's dumb enough to do that? And then what did because they didn't want to look like Jerkoffs and go, well, we got to pay him. Because if we don't pay him, it looks like we're fucking idiots
exactly.
Making a trade. Yeah, you want Jerkoffs.
See, Gettleman doesn't care because after the season, he's gone.
Thank God our other guest is on the other line. Thank God he'll save me from this. I get a Giant fan, even though he's a Met fan. He is a Met fan, Ross the Boss, but he is a Giant fan. So thank God I'll get some help along the way here. Carmine.
All right, now listen,
go
I got 5% battery left on this phone here, so I'll shut the fuck up. You guys talk. You want some answers on things? You want the maloika? Here's a fucking maloika and a half. I could feel the fucking hairs, Jeff, on my neck. Fuck the Giants. This one's Giant.
Oh yes, yes,
this
yes.
Fucking Jacobs. So are the worst show ever.
You ready? I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen.
Yeah, gotta tell me what's gonna happen.
The fucking running back, he's going to pop a hamstring and he's going to go back and forth all year. He's going to have about fucking 300 yards in 16 games. what the fuck's his name, the quarterback?
Daniel Jones.
Dave Brown? Oh, it's like same fucking thing. Daniel Jones.
Oh, my God.
What do they call
Danny Dimes.
Get the fuck out of here. That's like saying I got a 17-inch Chevrolet. I got it. Very seriously, though, Mr. Florio got me very concerned talking about this, and he's the same age as my oldest brother, and they are shitting the pill. my family, nothing short of Jesus Christ coming off the cross, would come out to say, oh, we miss you. And they're upset and all that. And I understand. I understand the way they feel. But if you really, you social distance to a certain degree, you can't fuck up the entire mm-hmm. world. And what are you going to do? You're going to wait until there's a fucking, let's say they got, the vaccine is set. Mm-hmm. Every year, 20 to 60,000 people in the United States die, and the vaccine's available
yep.
for the regular flu. And I take it every year. My wife and daughters have not taken it ever.
Me either.
So
me either.
Tell me, what the fuck is this thing going to do, Tom, Jeff? You tell me.
No, again, this is ridiculous, and this is just a game for the elections. That's all this is.
I know.
They're screwing with people's lives, Carmine, but I don't know. Listen, Carmine, you know I love having you on. You know I love when you call in. You need to do it more often.
I will.
I'm up against the guest right now. I got to get him on.
Real quick, I'll just give one bit of advice.
Oh, boy.
For those that are worried about fucking this COVID thing. You
okay.
ready?
Yeah.
Okay. It's quick. Take a fucking Trojan. Slide it on the old shaft. Put a little Vaseline at the tip so it goes a little extra to the gozer. Put on gloves, and then fuck it. Don't do yourself a four-finger Murray with the dump chaser. Just do a little stroke. Then flip it over, because, you know, you want to go a couple of different decks. Don't forget to smack the head every now and then. And then make sure you got fucking a big, like, raincoat on, just in case you fucking something happens. You don't want to get affected with the COVID. I'll leave you with that. Jeff, Tommy, I love you guys.
Love you, Carmine. Talk to you soon.
See you later, man.
That's the doctor. I don't know how Ross the Boss is going to follow up on that one, Jeff, but we're going to give him a shot to try.
I don't even know if he's going to stay on long enough, if he even heard that.
Here he is. He's Ross the Boss. He's back again. Maybe his last appearance after that, after following Carmine. Hey, Ross.
Hi, guys.
What's up, man? How are you?
Carmine's a hard ass to follow.
Yes, that was an unscheduled. We call him the doctor. He does videos. He's a big Met fan and a big Jet fan.
He's a performance artist.
Yes, to say the least. So.
I got him with the Mets. I don't know about the Jets.
Yeah, you and me both, Russ. How you been? How's things? You getting back to normal in Queens?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm here. I'm at work here. I got the batting cage going.
Huh?
Look.
Oh, very nice. We were part of our thing with you tonight was to say, hey, Ross, not for nothing. We're ready for our invitation to come out and meet you and take some swings.
Anytime. I have all my Cage Warrior teams here practicing.
Very nice.
So I have like 10U, I have 9U, I have kids in the back. We have 130 kids in our organization.
Wow. Yeah, and your son's the one that does a lot of the instructions and all that stuff, right?
Head coach, and he's the main instructor because he's college All-American switch hitting catcher, and so he gets a lot of clients, and he works very hard, and we've been at this thing, the sports thing, for like almost 16 years already.
Wow.
And so we were closed for 3.5 months by Il Duce Cuomo and the mayor of shit, De Blasio.
De Bozo, yeah. Yeah, De Bozo. Yeah.
It's like, this guy really screwed up the city. I mean, I can't believe it.
Yeah,
you know.
It's scary, Ross. I mean, listen, you go back like we do. I remember the days of the Dinkins administration when you couldn't even go into Times Square during the day. You know, you had to get a police escort literally to go into Times Square, and now it's getting back to that.
It's like videotape now you can see it, like these guys jumped a retired police sergeant.
I saw that video. Yeah,
it's on the video. It just seems like that wherever the Democrats are, but it's obvious that the cities are falling apart, and
mm-hmm.
the crime is just it's insane. I mean, my city is literally
But you know what? Here's the thing, guys. They don't even acknowledge. If you watch these politicians, and I'm going to point to the Democrats. And again, I know the Republicans are going to beef it up even more. But the Democrats go like, oh, we don't see it. There's a couple of incidents here and there. And you're like, dude, if you walk the streets of Manhattan, you can't even walk the streets of Manhattan. It's literally overrun. And they just turn a blind eye to this.
Yeah, you know, they got the junkies showing up in Midtown since it's empty. Broad daylight, you know, garbage, you know, it's like the cops have been defunded. I just don't know. And then the restaurants are all boarded up because they're not, the moron doesn't allow people to go in to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But you could stand, you could be on a plane, a packed plane, for 4 hours.
You could go bowling.
You can't go into a restaurant.
You could go bowling and touch balls and stuff and shoes that other people have used.
Right.
And wear shoes that other people have used. Use a ball with somebody
these
else.
People have all their lives in these businesses. And it's hard thing to watch.
Yeah.
It really is.
But I know there was some hardening news. I heard that you did a show. You got to play a little bit. This August 8th, you were out in England, and you jumped on stage and held hostage.
Oh,
and
that was up in Syracuse.
Oh, was that Syracuse? Okay, I thought it was in England for some reason.
There've been a lot of good things happening musically. We recorded 30 minutes for Bakken Online, which is the biggest metal concert, biggest metal festival in the world, Bakken.
Uh-huh.
And all the bands.
This season is for the fans, even when the pros went dark.
30 minutes for it, and they had an incredible. We went up to Syracuse again and recorded it, and it just came out great. And,
but didn't you jump on stage with Ripper Owens and those guys?
Yeah.
That was in Syracuse. Okay. So you got to play in front of a live audience. How did that feel for the first time in a while?
Obviously, I was saying to Tim, it feels great. I mean, wow, when I'm hearing the amps rip, I'm hearing the drone of the amps, and like, and that's what it is, you know. It's like we were all very happy to play live music again, and it's gonna come back, but I don't know when.
Yeah,
I had my tour. My tour was canceled in April, I spoke to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we spoke back in April, right when this all started. Basically, was the last time we spoke.
Right, and it's been rebooked for November, December, Europe. And we really doubt it's going to happen.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't think it's happening in 2020.
Yeah, did,
it don't look very good, man. It don't look good at all.
Did you guys see the whole thing with the drive-ins now? And what they, I think it was Metallica. I think was charging $1,200 for a car, whatever you could get in a car load. To, and again, we're playing. What we're showing a little Born of Fire from Ross the Boss. It's the official video, but. What do you think of that, Russ? Is that something that you would think about getting involved in? Is doing these concerts to drive-in theaters?
I would consider doing anything if it involved the band playing. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we came off a U.S. tour. We finished the last date for Live Nation in Philadelphia, February 24th. That was our last show.
Mm-hmm.
Monday. It was
right.
A makeup show. 8 days later, the shitstorm hit, and we're dying to play. We really are.
I got it. Yeah, we're with Ross the Boss.
All of us are dying to play. All my musician friends are. All the bands from all over the world.
You know, I don't. Go ahead, Ross.
I'm just like, you know. Plus, we released a new record.
Yep.
We haven't even supported that new record yet. Supporting my new record. That came out March 2020, next year.
Yeah.
If it happens.
Listen, I don't know what you guys hear, but the way that they talk every once in a while and they start talking about things, I don't know if next year is going to happen either. I don't know if we may go more than a year before we see anything.
That's right. I mean, and people talking about the vaccines,
mm-hmm.
and I think that will be very, very telling. You get a lot of people saying, I'm never going to take a vaccine.
Well, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off, Tom, but would you take a vaccine that they push out, didn't test and study, and then now they're going to turn around and tell you that it's okay?
Well, the thing is about, I haven't, you know, I didn't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out every single day since March.
Right.
Nothing stopped me from going out. I didn't shut myself in, you know. I refused to.
Yeah.
And we kind of had no choice because everything was closed. We couldn't do nothing.
Yeah.
I feel great. I understand the mask thing. You know, I do understand the mask thing.
There you go. In fact, we'll have some Hard Rock and Sports masks in a few weeks. I ordered some Hard Rock and Sports ones. So.
But we, you know, I understand all that. And, you know, if someone's sick and coughing out, you know, you got to block it. If you got it. I mean, it's spewing shit out of it. But my family, everybody's been healthy. And we live in Queens, right near the supposedly what was Ground Zero.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
By Elmhurst Hospital there. And, you know, so everything's been fine. I mean, we're not, you know. I know a lot of people died. I know people. I have people that their family members have passed, which is horrible. But I mean, a lot of this stuff was done by the governor. And,
thank you.
And but we, you know, I just prefer to forget this year. You know, it's like
you got much of a choice of that. There was nothing to remember.
I mean, it started great. 2020 started out great, but it really just.
Well, I mean, and that concert that you played a couple of weeks ago, that was actually a concert for the healthcare workers, correct? That was you had to be there, which was a great thing. So it sounds like you guys did something nice for the people who busted their ass for us.
Exactly, we did it. None of us took any money. We got just our expenses.
Mm-hmm.
I had to rent the car. I had to drive up the stairs just by myself.
Oh wow!
Something. Yeah, and. But it was worth it, and it was for a great cause, and you know.
Well,
but
you got
stage like that. It was fun. It was really good.
I'm sure that, and I watched the videos. It seems like it was a great time, and must have felt great to get out there and stretch out a little bit and play in front of a crowd. But you did some other stuff too. I got a couple of things on my list. You are part of the Six String Salute. You did Heart of Steel, I just played before. It was great. Okay.
September, I did an acoustic version of Heart of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I play for people. People are just, they say it's goosebump time when they listen to that song.
Oh, absolutely.
I did all my guitar work on nylon strings.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm fucking lethal on nylon strings. You're going to hear it. That's great. That's coming out in September.
Right. You also did something for the Stranglers covers, which I'm playing a little bit of the Heart of Steel video.
It's a song by this German industrial metal group, Die Trupps.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
German industrial metal, they're quite popular in Europe. I mean, and they do have a lot of fans. And they called me and they said, can you do, you know, the record label called me because I do a lot of work for Cleopatra Records. And the guy goes, well, they want you to play on this song called No More Heroes by the Stranglers.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when I was in the Dictators early on, I'm still in the Dictators, the Dictators toured with the Stranglers in the UK in 77. And I'm really good friends with Hugh Cornwall and Jean-Jacques of the Stranglers. And I did the song for them. They couldn't believe it. Historically, it's perfect. Perfect for them. And, now you're playing the live stuff. Now you're playing.
I got the video for Heart of Steel up there. It was a great song. I listened to it before the show. It's now part of my rotation. But we're talking with Ross DeBoss. He's here to promote a bunch of stuff. Six String Salute. He covers with the Stranglers. And he's obviously still got Bonafire still out there. You guys should check it out. But go to ross-the-boss.com. Don't go to ross-the-boss.com. You wind up at a hair salon. I wound up at a hair salon today for Ross the Boss Hair Salon. So I said, maybe he's got a separate business. Like Tito Santana, the wrestler, he owns a hair salon. I said, maybe Ross the Boss has a hair salon I didn't know about. You know, Ross, while we got you, you know, when we're talking and we're promoting, I got the passing this week of Pete Way. I don't know if you crossed paths with Pete during your career. You've passed with everybody else. I got to ask, tell us a little. Do you have a Pete Way story in there somewhere? Do you have a moment?
We did a lot of shows with them, with UFO back in the day. Shake and Shoot played big stadiums in California with the UFO. He wants to call UFO, Shake and Shoot, Little Skinhead, Black Sabbath. These were crazy lineups. And Pete Way was always a great guy, gentleman. He's sorely missed. And there's also another guy that passed that I would like to mention, Peter Green from Fleetwood Mac. He's the founding member of Fleetwood Mac and a big influence on me on my guitar playing.
Really?
Growing up. Yeah. He's like 5 years ahead, 6 years or something ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Green was a fantastic blues rock guitar player. Probably one of the best.
Wow.
If you ask Eric Clapton, if you ask John Mayall, someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
So a big influence on young RTB growing up.
Of course. But you know what, Pete Way, you know what's the funny thing about Pete Way? He's one of those guys that a lot of people don't talk about when they talk about throwing out greatest bass players, yet he's a guy who's influenced so many. You know, Jeff, I mean, Jeff as a bass player was influenced by a Pete Way, you know, one of our favorite bass players, Steve Harris. You know, here's a guy who just was completely, his style, his the way he dressed was just copied by so many people.
Steve Harris is the obvious Pete Way.
Oh, yeah.
And he, you know, is one of these guys who's just going to be sorely missed.
Absolutely. So
adding to the shit show of 2020.
Yes, Jeff, this has not been great. 2020 has not been a good one, Jeff. For us, maybe it's been okay.
Not for anybody, man. It sucks, man. It really does suck.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like extremely lucky. I didn't get sick. None of my family got sick. None of my friends got sick. We're all still playing music. We're getting ready for when we get the green light. My dictators have been recording. I have to record tonight.
Yeah.
And that's going to be huge when we play the original Dictators.
Oh, wow.
We have the original drummer of Louis DePoe as our drummer.
Oh, really?
Richard. Yeah. And so that's going. So
we
when the green light goes, when they hit the finger off the pause, I will have Ross the Boss Band, the Dictators, and my other metal band called Death Dealer all ready to go out and make money.
Wow, it's amazing. Yeah. We just had his brother, Joe Bouchard, was just on the show a couple weeks back. Last week was Rick Emmett from Triumph. We've had a great show, and right up to today with Ross the Boss.
Joe Bouchard, the Bouchard brothers are fantastic.
Oh, amazing. Absolutely. Yeah, we've been lucky that I think a lot of people have been sitting home bored, so we've gotten a lot of great guests. The Apice brothers have been on. You've been on a few times. We had Joe Kennedy.
From the Rods.
Carl Kennedy.
That's it, Carl. I jumped into Joe Bouchard. That stuck in my head.
Original Manowar drummer.
Oh, really?
He played on our very first demo.
I didn't know that. I don't remember that.
He could have been in the band. And he stayed with the Rods.
Yeah, he was very, very nice. What a very nice man.
True gentleman.
Yes.
Great drummer, true gentleman.
Absolutely. And you know what? A piece of research I popped up today, which I didn't know. It said that you were very close friends or you were very tight with Bon Scott. Is that accurate?
I knew Bon Scott really pretty well. We did from the touring that ACDC did with the Dictators in the early days. I knew him. I mean, I talked to him. I mean, it wasn't like we called each other.
Right.
You know, letters. But every time ACDC would play with the Dictators, they really loved the Dictators, and they mentioned us in their biography. As a matter of fact, they opened for us at the Palladium in New York City.
Really?
They opened for us.
Really?
They were totally unknown. Okay? They opened for the Dictators at the Palladium, and then they went and played CBGBs the same night.
Wow.
It's historic. It's all on the internet.
And I got to find that.
So Bon was always a great guy.
Jeff's a big Bon Scott AC/DC guy. Jeff, did you know that? Did you know that fact?
No, dude, I did not. I did not.
Do you have a favorite? I, you know, we're fans of AC/DC. You have a favorite story or something? A story you can give us on Bon Scott?
Listen to this. You're in the Midwest somewhere.
Somewhere.
It was the Dictators. AC/DC, and guess who the other band was? Thin Lizzy.
Thin Lizzy, wow.
Can you imagine this lineup? Dictators, AC/DC, Thin Lizzy.
Wow. Somewhere in the Midwest.
I can't remember. I think it was Salt Lake City or somewhere. And it was Gary Moore. Gary Moore was in Thin Lizzy.
Wow.
And Gary Moore was playing that Les Paul that Kirk Hammett bought $2 million. $3 million. That was Peter Green's.
Yes.
Peter Green's original Les
Paul. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's made it around, huh? Wow.
It's called Greeny. And I got to play it, and it was it's a special guitar.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's worth $2 million, but and Thin Lizzy and AC/DC pretty much hated each other. And
really?
So I could, you know, there was some definite tension between both bands. So therefore, they love both bands. They loved us. Both bands loved the Dictators.
Right. So you guys were the buffer between the two bands?
Yeah. That's right. They're all been great to us. Both of them were great to us, and they hate each other.
Wow.
Strange.
Yes.
Strange situation.
That is strange. Yeah.
So that's what that, you know, they were, and obviously, Thin Lizzy's great, you know, and but AC/DC is definitely upcoming. They were set for superstardom.
Yeah, there's still rumors. I mean, again, obviously with COVID, who knows? But there's rumors that Brian Johnson's back, and they're going to be Stevie Johnson, Angus, Stevie Young, Angus's nephew, who's going to be playing. They're going to go out there and do another album and do another tour. So,
as long as it's not,
oh, thank God! First off, listen, I'm not an Axl Rose guy.
He didn't do such a bad
job. It wasn't terrible. What did you think, Jeff? Did you think he pulled it off?
Listen, to me, there's AC/DC is two bands. There's the AC/DC with Bon Scott and the AC/DC with Brian Johnson. Two separate different bands. One a bluesy band, one a heavy metal band. And I can't see Axl doing either.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah. Not a fan.
I love them. I also miss Malcolm. Here's a nice Malcolm story. You want to get ready to laugh?
Go ahead.
So you're playing Pennsylvania somewhere. Some college with AC/DC, and Malcolm comes up to me and he goes, Hey Ross, what do you think of this guy Wingnut? I go, Who Malcolm? Who? Wingnut. Wingnut? Who's Wingnut? He goes,
Ross is taking care of some business. Hard Rock and Sports. Jeff Towinski, Tom Florio, and Ross, the boss. No problem.
The story is okay.
No problem.
Whoops.
Hold on. Technical difficulties.
The story is so Malcolm goes, you know this guy Wingnut, Ross? I go, Wingnut? Who's Wingnut? I go, Al Malcolm. Who the fuck is Wingnut? He goes, you know that guy with the white Stratocaster and he plays a million notes? I go, Yngwie. Yngwie Malmsteen? He goes, yeah, that guy. He goes, I can't take that guy. Okay. Wingnut. That's their Australian name.
That is funny.
Isn't that fucking funny?
That is funny. It's one of those bands. You know, it's one of those bands that Jeff, Russ. You know, they've stayed so true to themselves the entire time. Yes, they changed when Bon left and when Bon died and Brian Johnson came on. But that's a band that just is the same band forever.
You could take any album with Bon Scott and listen to it, and if you told somebody you just put it on repeat, it's fine. Sounds like everything else. And then with Brian Johnson. Same thing. Every album, every song sounds almost alike. They didn't. Once they got a different singer, they changed for the singer and changed the kind of the style of the music. But when they wrote songs, they just like turned them out as like all the same vein, the same mold.
Yeah.
You know.
Listen, if it's not broke,
it's great stuff.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but don't beat it to the ground either, man.
But if you got it and it works, and speaking of Australia, I will say hi to Karen King. She's out in Australia waving to us and saying hello. Hi, Karen. Nice to see you again. So everybody's checking in tonight to see Ross the Boss live, first time on video at the Hard Rock and Sports Show.
There you
go. Yeah. So right now, Ross, you can't really book. I know you got some stuff booked, but it's kind of up in the air. But between all the different bands, you're working on stuff. Is there new music? You haven't even toured on this album yet, but are you working on new stuff?
For RTP, no.
No?
Not at the moment. We're going to start soon.
So would you do another album out before you toured? Would you do another? Yeah.
Death Dealer has 5 records recorded.
Wow.
We have the third one coming out in November. We have 4 and 5. I just can't take it. I can't do it. Until I sell this one, you know, I got to get into that songwriting thing. They don't come like turning on a switch.
No, I'm sure it's a process.
You know, Stu Marshall writes most of the songs with Beth here, so I mean, I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Well, listen,
it'll come a time though.
Oh, listen, Yeah, I'm sure. But right now, you'll get out there. So are you gonna wait it out, or are you gonna try to invent ways to get out there? What's your thought?
I gotta get paid. I gotta be able to pay my band. I gotta mm-hmm. pay the expenses. If I could do that, I will go.
Right.
Do it.
Well, guys, make sure you keep up with Ross, the boss, one of our favorites on the show. He's not only obviously a legendary guitar player. He's got a whole bunch of bands, Death Dealer. He's got stuff coming up with the Dictators. He's and of course, obviously RT, the Ross, the boss band. He's also a big sports fan, so I got to kick in a little bit of sports. And Ross, I was taking a beating before you got on. Carmine and Jeff were tag teaming me. They were giving me the Maloikia for the Giants. Ross,
yeah, well,
help me out a little bit.
I haven't really studied my New York Giants yet.
What's the study?
Greatness. That's it. There it is. That's my man, Ross. Thank you, Ross. That's what I'm talking about. Ross, you know what? We talked about this last week. It has got to be the weirdest, quietest off season in NFL history. You know, I watched the videos. There's so little video. You know, there's no preseason games. It's going to be so hard to figure out whose team, especially our team right now, because that's what we're talking about. But you know, it's going to be hard to figure out what kind of team we got this year.
No fans going.
Well, you know, the Chiefs are going to have 22% capacity. So the actually,
really?
Chiefs are going to have 16,000 people for opening day.
They're telling people they're going to have that many people. Are they going to be allowed to have that many people?
22% in Kansas City. That's
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's something. I mean, again, I don't know. I think the Giants right now, there are no plans, Jets, Giants, to having people in the stands.
They can't. You can't go for a fucking slice of pizza over here. You're going to put that many people in a fucking football stadium.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about the new team. I think, I don't know if you read the papers, Ross. I read it. The coach is old school. He's got them running laps when they make mistakes. It's a beautiful thing out there in Giant Land.
Yeah,
it is. I think it's fucking awesome. You see the way you wear this team out by September, they'll be out of contention by the middle of September.
Russ, he's a Jet fan.
Gentlemen, fire Judge.
He's a Jet fan.
Dimes.
The only other team that wears green is Philadelphia.
Oh, not even worse. Even worse than that. Oh,
leave the Jets. I thought you were going to go on the Jets, man. Leave them out of this. They suck as it is. They don't need nobody heaping on them.
Listen, the Giants haven't been doing anything really. Neither have my Nets. Fucking third place. So
yeah, my dad calls in every week, and he dropped the bomb on me. I didn't know that the Mets tonight were canceled, and they canceled tomorrow night against the Yankees. A couple of players came down with the COVID virus, the coronavirus.
It's just a constant shit. I mean, you know, let's face that, guys. I don't know about the season. At least they're trying.
Yeah, I agree. The Mets is the same typical problem. You know, they got all the pitching in the world, and then everybody's on the IL. I'm still calling it the DL. I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, Pete Alonso has not performed the way he did last year.
No.
You know, it's a little disappointing, and the fact that they're even hanging around this point, it says something to me a little bit that at least.
You know, honestly, they're okay. They're 12-14, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's fine. They're right in there. So
yeah.
At this point, I'll take 12-14. I'd rather it be 14-12.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the problem is everybody's hurt.
The Braves are 14-11,
mm-hmm.
which is not, you know, in baseball world, it's not.
No, not right now.
Yeah, so the Mets are right.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they got to stay healthy, Rush. I mean, Syndergaard goes out for the season. DeGrom gets a little bit, but he's back. Mats has been putrid. The Peterson comes up. He's in and out. You know, Wach has been terrible. Porcello's been terrible. You know, the problem with this team is that their big strength is pitching, and it hasn't been able to show up on the field yet.
Right.
And they're lucky that everybody else has been bad, because they'd be out of this. No, you're absolutely right. There it is. But the problem is Ramos hasn't hit behind the plate. Alonso hasn't been himself. Thank God for Dom Smith. Always forget it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that Alonso's going to come around.
I would imagine so. But this is a tough year.
Let's face that. This is still preseason.
Correct. You're absolutely right.
In the temperature of a baseball player, what they're used to,
mm-hmm.
this is still preseason.
Absolutely. 100%. It's a long way. It's a short, long way to go. In this year, let's see if they turn it. I think September will be the, you know, obviously the tell all. You know, see if everybody who cranks it up. Yeah, the Yankees are, you know, they're fighting injuries too. So it's, you know, nobody's jumping out there. A couple surprise teams, but we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. The Giants are kicking in.
At least they're playing.
Yes, it gives us something to do. I agree. Believe me, I agree with you. But, you know, Russ, you're a busy guy. We won't keep you too long. I am going to send you out an email sometime in September on a Saturday. We want to come out. You know, so now you have the teams hitting. Do you take people off the street? Are people coming
Absolutely.
In?
Absolutely. We have rentals. How, you know, that's the lifeblood.
Okay. I didn't know with Del Duce if they let you have people in the.
There's plenty of room here. Look how much room we have in here.
Oh, wow. It's a big place.
There's 10,000 square feet here. People are separated.
Okay. Well, we'll send you out an email. We're going to come out. We'd love to meet with you, and maybe we'll hit a few balls, but we certainly would like to come out and say hello and see the place, and I appreciate you coming on. Everybody should definitely go to – it's on the screen, ross-the-boss.com. Keep up on all the stuff that's going on with the Dictators.
I'm on Facebook.
You're on Facebook?
Crackbook. Ross the Boss. Ross the Boss Band, RTV Band, Ross the Boss Band, Ross the Boss Fans.
Mm-hmm.
I got Death Dealer is there. Come on, Ross the Boss, and give us likes. Like that. Like somehow. This is what it's come down to.
Oh, absolutely.
The like. Gotta like everything. So come on and like all my shit.
Hey, Ross, let me tell you. You know what? It's funny. I researched trying to get the show onto bigger platforms like Sirius and all that. And the first thing they ask you is how many likes on your social media. If you don't have 10,000 likes on your social media, they won't even look at you. Not that they're going to take you, but they won't even look at you until you have 10,000 likes. Then they'll investigate you from there.
Well, that's good for the Ross the Boss Band. So we're over that.
Well, we'll make sure that everybody here listening, including Karen in Australia and everybody else, goes out there and likes Ross the Boss Band and all the other things. And listen, we love having you on the show, and I'm thankful that you came on tonight. Video, it's even better. We get to see you. But
yep.
We'll I will say, there it is, Ross the Boss Masks. There he is. He is, of course, Ross the Boss Freeman, and we're so thankful to have you on the show. I'll send you out an email, and we'll pick a day in September, come out and get to meet you, and we'll maybe hit a few balls and hang out with you a little bit. But I want to thank you for coming on tonight, and as always, Ross, thank you, man. We love having you on.
Thank you.
All right, take care, Russ. That's everybody. That's Russ the Boss. Make sure you go onto his social media. Take care. Go to his Facebook pages and all that stuff. Nice guy. Jeff, yeah. We got to make it, Jeff, one Saturday.
Yeah, man, whenever you want to go. Dude, listen, there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, I got you.
There's nothing else to do.
Yeah, no, I get it. We're going to
let me know.
I'll send him out an email. We'll pick one of the couple Saturdays. I know I'm going to be free in September, and you and I'll jump in a car. We'll head out to Queens, hit a couple of baseballs, and hang out with Ross the Boss.
Sure, definitely.
So, Jeff, it's me and you. We've gotten everybody the first hour. We've dedicated to people being on the show, but now it's us. I'm trying to figure which way we should go with this.
Well, I know you had a bit of a list.
Yes, I have a big list. You have an idea what you want?
Let's pick something cool off that list.
All right, so do you want to go Lou Gehrig?
Okay.
You want to go Lou Gehrig?
Yeah, you know why? Because that is something that I wanted to talk about for a while. I was in Facebook jail. I couldn't comment on it.
Go ahead.
So I really like to talk about that.
Okay. So, go ahead. So what you sent me was that he is one of only 13 players to ever have had 200 hits and 100 walks in the same season, and he did it 7 times, which is frighteningly amazing.
Dude, when you listen to this man's accomplishments
uh-huh.
as a baseball player, playing at a time on that Yankee team
uh-huh.
with Babe Ruth, okay, and you're talking 200 hits and 100 walks 7 times. Now, I don't know how many years he did that with or how many years he actually played side by side with Ruth,
uh-huh.
but think about that. Could you imagine facing that lineup and now you're the pitcher? And you're like, what do? I'm pitching to Ruth. I got Gehrig next. I'm pitching to Gehrig. I got Ruth next.
Hmm.
What do you do?
Well, that's why they won so much, and that's why they're pretty much, you know, considered some of the greatest teams of all time.
It's not even that. Just think of those two guys right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're a pitcher. Who would you rather face? It's up to you. You got to face somebody. Who is it you would rather face if you were an opposing pitcher playing the Yankees and you got Ruth and Gehrig and your team has to win this game at bottom of the ninth and, you know, they're down 3-2 and here come these two guys up to bat?
That's a great question. I can't really answer it. I got to be honest. You're doomed if you do. I'll be honest with you. If I had to choose between the two, I'd rather face Babe Ruth.
Yeah, you probably would have a better shot.
Yeah.
Against Ruth, I agree with that. Although Ruth hit more home runs, I really think that Lou Gehrig was the better overall hitter between the two.
I'm not going to argue that. I think when you look at the body of work and the fact that, you know, he probably got robbed of about four seasons. You know, Gehrig hit his fair share of home runs. I think he hit over 350.
I think he had 493 home runs.
Okay, so you're probably more right on the money. But when you look at how many RBIs the guy had, his batting average, the walks, and the whole bit, and considering that, think about it. He had 100 walks hitting behind Babe Ruth. It's not like he's in front of me. He hit behind Babe Ruth. I mean, this guy was just a monster player and unfortunately, you know, was robbed. And you know, I wonder the problem.
Real quick, I don't mean to cut you off.
Sure.
But yeah, I was right. 493 home runs. Okay. The guy has been retired. I don't know when he retired, in 1939 or
something like that. 38, 39.
But he's still 28th all time in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah.
Home runs, and it's going on over almost 90 years
yeah.
or so since
yeah,
he played.
That's almost 90 years, yeah.
And he's still 28th all time.
Yeah, you know, listen, just a phenomenal, legendary good fielder, but with the stick in his hand, the guy was just amazing. And again, like I said, was robbed the last two or three, you know, his last year and change. Wasn't the same player, and then obviously, you know, had to stop playing a few years early. Think about if he had another 2 or 3 years, Jeff, with the stats. He may have hit 600 homers. He may have hit 550.
I'm watching this clip of Lou Gehrig, mm-hmm. right? Every single clip that they show him in, that you see him picture, he's got a uniform on that looks like it's too big.
Yeah.
Probably very heavy.
Oh, yeah, the old cotton uniform, sure.
Yeah. I don't think they were cotton, dude. Maybe wool.
They might have been wool. You're absolutely right. You're 100% right. Yes.
So now here's this guy playing a game out in the hot sun in a uniform like that. Okay. It looks too big as it is. It looks uncomfortable to be in. And he's got a smile on his face in every single picture that you see him in. Like even when they're not taped, when you're taking a picture of him and it seems as though he doesn't know it, he's just always got a smile on his face.
Yeah.
He is definitely one person. If I could ever have gone back in time and meet one athlete, I would definitely have him on a very short list of people that I would love to have met.
All right. Here's the great question, Jeff. You can have a dinner with three people, not living.
Oh, wow. Well,
I'll make a living. Three people that you could sit down to pick their brain, sports, music, who would the three people be?
I'd have to say Lou Gehrig because, I mean, I'm telling you in the middle of that, but Lou Gehrig, Geezer Butler, and George Washington, man.
George Washington?
Yeah, dead serious, bro. Dead serious. I would just find it interesting to see their perspective of what life was like back in the 1700s during the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those stories that we've heard about Washington over the years and in history are true? How many of them maybe have been embellished? You know, I'm talking candid talking and real stories. Like, you know, like, did you really cut down the cherry tree? And did you really sail across the Delaware? And
yeah.
This night when it was like fucking 3 degrees out and fuck up a bunch of fucking redcoats. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. That's the stuff that you want to hear. Lou Gehrig, I would just want to, like, tell me what it was like to play. Like, you look at some of these crowds. What was it like to play back then? There was no in-between innings, amusements.
Yeah.
It was strictly the game.
Yeah.
Strictly the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he's a butler for, I mean, God, to imagine the three of them together, I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's an interesting combination, you know.
How about you? Who would your three be?
Boy, that's a really good one. I don't, you know. that's a tough one for me. I have to think about that for a minute.
I mean, I had to come up with three off the top of my head that would. You know.
Wow. Well, I'll say this: three guys that I would want. Okay.
You figure one sports star, one political figure, and one musical figure.
Well, the musical figure, I have to say, with my first instinct would be Steve Harris, but I want to change. I'm going to go with what I would love to sit down for 5 minutes with, which would be Elvis.
Okay.
I think to see the early Elvis to late Elvis and what was on his brain, and hear some of those stories. From history, I will tell you. Kennedy or George Patton? I would probably go Kennedy. I would love to know more about that whole politics in that era. So Kennedy, John F. Kennedy would probably be that guy. And then sports is a tough one. But it's not tough. Mickey Mantle. I would love to sit around and talk with Mickey Mantle.
You know, I have one issue with your picks, and that would be the political pick. I don't know. It just something about the era of the late 50s into the 60s that reminded me that it was always like 85 degrees and humid, no matter where they were and what was going on.
Uh-huh.
Everybody was kind of like sweaty. And I just wouldn't be able to handle that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a feeling that I get when you look at them and stuff, and everybody wearing suits with the ties up to here, no matter what the weather. It's like, no wonder all of those, you never see no fat people back then. They all like were skinny. They must have been sweating their asses off.
Hard Rockin' Sports, Jeff and Tom, every Thursday night, 6:30, 7 to 10 now on the Facebook page. We come back every week. I don't think we have a guest for a little while. I do have some possible guests, but no big names. So it'll be Jeff and me for a little while with you guys. Talk a lot of sports, a little bit of politics. And we're here every week. You can go to Spotify for the old shows. You can check our Facebook, our YouTube page, go to our YouTube channel, I should say. You'll see there. You can catch them all of our old shows there. And again, make sure you come back every Thursday night and hang with us a bit. We got some great shows coming up. Football getting ready to kick off. Back next week with our good friend Rafael Esparza from mybookie.ag. So make sure you come back next week. But, Jeff, you know, the finish up, get Lou Gehrig, and then we'll move on. It's amazing to me that there isn't more conversation about him being the best player of all time, because I really do feel that there's a viable argument for Gehrig being the greatest of all time.
I think that you would get that argument with people of a certain era that would, they may make that argument. For Lou Gehrig, simply because a lot of people don't know who he is now and don't appreciate what he's done now. Now, to me, personally, the reason why I take such an interest in Lou Gehrig and the Babe Ruth era of baseball, more so than today, is because I remember talking to my grandfather about some old-time Yankees and teams that he saw. My grandmother would tell me about things. So it was like, it reminded me of them and having conversations with them. And then, you know, like I said, looking at Lou Gehrig, whenever you see pictures of him, he always looked like he'd be approachable. That, you know, if you see him like, hey, Mr. Gehrig, can I get a picture with you? And like, you know, hey, come on, kid, let's do this. And you know, maybe he'd talk to you for a minute and he'd be like, I got to go play now. And, you know, to know that he played the Iron Horse, how many, over 2,000 games in a row?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hit all of those home runs, all of those times with all RBIs, almost 200 RBIs this season, how many years in a row in the 170s, 180s that he was knocking in? You know, just incredible stats. And once again, incredible stats to play with Babe Ruth. And that's no slight against Babe Ruth, because Babe Ruth was playing with Lou Gehrig, and look at his stats.
Yeah.
You know, it's like these guys, what the fuck? They must have been banging out fucking RBIs every time they got up the bat. That the pitcher must have been like, this is two, now I'm down 2-0. That I'm not even getting out yet, down 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum 2-0 with these two guys. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's why the 27 Yankees are considered the greatest. Some people consider the 27 Yankees to be the greatest of all time, with Lazzeri and Bill Dickey and, you know, that whole Red Ruffing and all of that. You know, it's amazing teams. But, Jeff, let's move on. Let's the show's gonna go quick, so let's get going some other things. I do want to mention Alex Smith getting back on the field for the Redskins. I won't call them the Washington Football Team. That's sacrilegious in our world. But I think that's an amazing thing. But let me ask, if you're Alex Smith and you make this jump back, obviously Haskins is going to be the guy there. Do you think that Alex Smith, with no preseason to show his wares, do you think he puts a little pressure on management to get moved?
I don't know. If you're management, do you move him? I mean, here you have a rookie that you drafted for your team, and now you have a guy that almost got his leg cut off 2 or 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
making a comeback, and you're willing to take a chance and possibly have him as your starter. That, to me, leads me to believe that Haskins may actually be on his way out. And have you seen the pictures of this man's leg?
When it happened, I got it up on the screen now, but I've never seen the actual photo, no.
When you get a chance, look it up, right? Mm-hmm. And you'll see his leg. Like, you won't know what to think. Like, what happened?
Mm.
Did it get bit by a shark? It looks like there's pieces missing. It's just like, it's nasty.
Yeah.
It's nasty. For this man to come back and want to attempt to play football,
mm-hmm.
to me is like unimaginable. If that was me, I would have been like, listen, I know I'm going to lose money. I retire. I can't take this chance. I would be worried that, something happens. You take a step the wrong way, crack, your leg back breaks in half. But it seems as though that, a lot of people are standing behind him and said, yes, you could play. And,
yeah,
it's just unreal. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I'll say this to bring my end to it. I understand it. I think if you're him, you don't want to go out that way. You want one more opportunity to say, I beat this. And, Alex Smith, well, I would never say was a, by the way, there's the new helmets for the Washington Redskins. Did you see it? The numbers on the side of the helmet?
Yeah, it looks like a college football team.
It looks like USC. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
USC or some team that'd be like in Arizona or something out west.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought they had pretty much the worst. I think we did last year. I think we picked them to have the worst uniforms in the league. I think you and I did.
Redskins?
Yeah, I think we picked them to have the worst uniforms in the league.
I don't remember who I had as the worst, but I'll tell you the truth. I mean... I'm not a huge fan of their color scheme, but I would imagine that I picked them not in the worst position, probably in the bottom third, maybe.
Yeah, I think I picked them for worst. I think I did. But I'm rooting for him.
Nonetheless,
I'm rooting for him because I figure this way: if he gets to play this year, that means Haskins is as bad as I think he's going to be, and that means they suck, and he's getting a chance to play. But I do hope he gets a chance to do his thing. And jump, get in there and play, because I think that's he's probably worked very hard.
Oh, definitely, without a doubt, he's worked very hard, extremely hard.
Yeah,
needs to rehab, get himself. How about his mindset? How about his mindset to be in a football game? That's going to be a big thing right there. Give this man the opportunity to start a game,
yeah,
preseason or not, and have the pocket collapse around him. Have people falling down or diving at his legs and his knees? Is he going to get gun shy? You know what I mean? I mean, if I was in a position after the injury he had, I could see myself just fucking curling up in a ball, crying and please don't hit me, please don't hit me, and get carted off the field.
Yeah, no, listen, I can't argue that point. Like I said, I think the guy's just out there trying to get back and get out there and show he can still do it. So good luck to him. Although I hope his team sucks and lose every game, because I'm not a fan, but cool. Glad that we'll move on here. Hard Rocket Sports every Thursday night, Jeff and me.
You got to think that mm-hmm. he had Joe Theismann at that game.
Yeah.
The same exact day that Joe Theismann broke his
leg,
and there was Joe Theismann in the stands, and Joe Theismann never, ever, ever got to play again. Never got the play.
Yeah, listen, Jeff, the medical marvels, that I think that's one of the biggest things, and it's so overlooked that over the course of sports, I think the biggest change in sports is obviously the medicine. Guys who were hurt back in the day with a simple knee injury today, back then their careers were over. I mean, think of,
yeah,
you know,
pretty much.
You know,
yeah.
And
I believe that Theismann came back 1 year after his injury,
uh-huh.
tried to come back with the Redskins, and I think he was released, and I think he tried out with the Raiders or something.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, something. He went to another team, a tryout, or went to meet with them or something, but evidently it didn't work out because that was it. And he wasn't that old. By today's standards, you got guys who would have another
yeah.
5 years of a playing career.
Yeah.
When that injury happened to him.
Yeah, again, no doubt, but I think that's the biggest thing has been the change in medicine has allowed guys to save their careers and continue on in some cases. Getting back. I mean, guys blew out knees years ago, and they never were the same. And nowadays, you know, guys blow out their shoulders, blows out knees, and 6 months later, they're back on the field and sometimes in moving better than they ever did. So, you know, that's been the biggest advance, I think, in sports has been the medicine.
Yeah.
We're going to kick it off with okay, so now. We just talked about, you know, stay with the Redskins for a minute. You know, and before we move on, and again, I will always on this show refer to them as the Washington Redskins, not the Washington football team, not the Red Tails. They are forever on the Hot Rock and Sports Show, the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, I wish other people would
yeah.
do that. But real quick, before you get off and go back to the Redskins real quick,
sure.
I wanted to bring this up. They talked about, I read an article about the Chiefs earlier.
Okay.
They're now banning headdresses.
Come on.
Wait a minute, I'm not done. They're banning war paint.
Come on.
From the games.
Come
okay?
on.
You cannot have this on you when you go into the stadium. They are now thinking about changing the drum beat that they were using during the game, but they want the drums to reflect the heartbeat of the stadium. That crock of shit.
What? Wait, stop. Wait. What is the heartbeat of the stadium?
Well, I don't know. You would have to ask a Kansas City Chiefs official on that to find out what is the
heartbeat. Is it dumb, dumb,
yeah.
dumb? Is that what we're going to hear? Yeah. Dumb.
Like, you know, when Mahomes does something good, that'll go like back down.
You know, not to get into politics in the middle of our Washington Redskin rant, but, you know, like, did you see the whole Goodyear thing this week?
No, I have no idea what the fuck is going on with it. It's fucking tires and rubber. I don't know what happened.
Real fast. So this is the problem. It's the typical corporate America. So Goodyear puts out this thing to their people to say, we don't want to get involved in politics. We don't want anybody wearing any MAGA gear. We don't want you to wear anything for Blue Lives Matters. We don't want nothing to do with politics. But it is acceptable to wear Black Lives Matters and LBGQ stuff. So you can wear that stuff, but you can't wear MAGA stuff. So they put, not only do they put this out on a website, I did with some training thing they were working on. Hold on a second. I'm saying hi. There's a bunch of people saying hi to us. They actually had some sort of a meeting and somebody taped them saying it. Because first they denied it. Then they sent the audio out. And they got busted. So they said, no, we're just trying to stay out of politics. Social justice stuff is okay, but we're just trying to stay out of politics. So Trump comes out and says, oh, okay, you know what? I think we should boycott Goodyear. Goodyear tanks, their stock tanks like 6% in the next. And now everybody's all over Facebook going, you know what? I'm not buying any of this stuff anymore. And what I think is happening and what's starting to happen is the silent majority, Jeff, is not silent in the pocketbooks, and I think a lot of these corporations are starting to see the NFL, the NBA, the ratings are tanked. Goya did tremendous after the Dems tried to boycott their stuff, the sales of this stuff, and now I think corporate America is starting to see if we play games, we're going to get hit in the pocketbook.
Oh, you know what? Listen. A lot of this stuff is short term too, Tom. So they're taking losses short term. Goodyear, unfortunately for Goodyear, there's several other quality tire makers.
Absolutely.
So maybe people won't flock to Goodyear. Okay.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's stupid to turn around and say, "Well, you can't wear this, can't wear that,
yeah.
can't wear this," but you can wear that.
Yeah.
You know what? I could see if everybody acknowledged the Black Lives Matter movement at one time or another
mm-hmm.
and said, listen, we stand behind you. We don't stand behind some of these terror groups that are trying to use the same platform,
mm-hmm.
but we stand upon showing equal rights to
yeah.
people and everything else, and then move forward. You don't have to bring it up every week. You don't have to bring it up every day. We acknowledge it. That's it. You know what I mean? Just the same thing as, you know, well, this week is Italian Pride Week. So let's celebrate everybody Italian.
Yeah.
And then next week is Norwegian Pride Week. Let's celebrate everyone that's Norwegian. No reason to do that.
No.
You know, acknowledge it. Say that you're with it, that you're behind it. We hear your message, and we want everybody to be equal, and then continue to move on, and then show the world that you're doing it.
I agree.
Do it week after week after week.
But if you're corporate America, Jeff, if you want to, I mean, it's starting to be proven. This, the silent majority is not going to run out the streets and start looting. They're not going to mess 700,000 people on the Brooklyn Bridge. But the silent majority is going to hit you in the pocketbook. It's going to hit you where it really, 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 really hurts. And you can you can tell me all you want. All these people, the NFL, the NBA, you know, all these different organizations, you know, Goodyear. At the end of the day, the 22, 23-year-old, you know, 19-year-old living in mommy's basement yelling, Ma, meatloaf, are not spending the money. Out there, it's the silent majority. We're the ones out there spending the money, and when you piss us off, that's when you pay.
Milo.
Hard rock and sweats. So let's get back to the Redskins. So the Redskins, to stay on that topic real fast, decided to hire Jason Wright, a former running back in the league. Worked his way up corporate America in the NFL. Seems like a very good candidate. Guy who's been done business, done stuff in the NFL, knows the game. And the Washington Redskins went out and hired this guy, and he happens to be African American. He's black, and he got the job. And I think it's the first time in league history that an African American black man has been held that position. Terrific. Keyshawn Johnson. Now, you remember Keyshawn Johnson. He played for
the... Wait, you're jumping again. You're totally ignoring me. You're being racist.
I'm being racist. Why?
Being racist. Why do we have to label this man of African-American, a black man? Why can't we just say this man got a job and worked here?
I agree with you. I have to for the story, Jeff, because if I don't say that...
So, in other words, I'm going to allow the white man to finish telling the story about the black man that was hired by an NFL team.
Correct. So, the problem is...
Go ahead, white man.
Yeah, so I have to because... I have to do that because Keyshawn Johnson has come out and said, well, why did the Redskins really do this? Did they do it for the right reason? Why did the Redskins hire Jason Wright? Now, instead of him saying, hey, congratulations to Jason Wright. This is terrific. It's a great move for him. It's a good move for society. He's sitting there questioning, well, they're doing it because of all the controversy. They really didn't do it for the right reason. Jeff, when is enough enough?
Well, listen, I hear you and I agree with you. And unfortunately, until somebody steps up and all they have to say is this, Tom,
mm-hmm.
you know what? Why are you saying that this man is black? Why does it have to be a black man? How come you never hear that they hired an Asian man? You know,
correct.
An
I agree.
Irish man. It always has to be black. It always has to be color because that's what sells.
Correct. 100%.
Now somebody could turn around like Keyshawn Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And is this a token hiring?
Correct.
They'll find no matter what you do, somebody's going to find the problem.
No, Keyshawn's had plenty of problems in his own life, you know, domestic problems, you know, all sorts of issues, you know,
yeah.
you know, and Keyshawn just got a great job. He's a morning guy now on ESPN. I don't know if it's on the TV or just radio, but, you know, to me, hey, Keyshawn. You know, you everybody's talking about equality. You had a guy get a job who deserves it. The guy literally has done everything he could possibly do to get to where he's gotten to. He worked in like I said, finance. He worked in the finance field, big business in the NFL, played in the NFL. Perfect guy to have that spot. And they just Why am I looking at Chris Cornell's belly?
I'm trying to. I got my on-air partner.
Oh, that's Basil.
Basil.
So, you know, it's just amazing, Jeff, that it's just amazing that people can't just be happy that a guy got a job. We have to turn this into a racial, you know, into a whole racial stereotype of, or a whole racial problem. I don't know how else to call it, but be happy that Jason Wright got the job. Why do we have to look into why he got the job? He got the job.
It's not so much that it's a racial problem. It's not a racial problem, okay? What the problem is they can't – if he didn't get the job,
mm-hmm.
he got the job.
Right.
They can't continue to make it a racial problem.
That's –
so now you have to take it and twist it around so that even though something good happened,
mm-hmm.
you could still turn it around and make it a racial problem. Why did you give this black man this job in this position? Did he deserve it? Is it just a token hiring? How come he got it? How many other black people were passed over for it? You're never going to make anybody happy.
It's
impossible to make everybody happy. How about this? Like you just said, this man just got a job. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's in his late 30s. He has a couple young kids. He's only married for a short time. And now he's on his way to be a successful person in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's looked upon as a future general manager or coach or whatever position mm-hmm. he could possibly be. He's got a great football mind, and we're happy to have him on our team. But no, it's got to be like, we hired the first black guy. Look, come on, everybody, come on, come on. And it's like unbelievable. Why does that have to be there? Just say that you hired somebody. This is our new assistant general manager or whatever. Whatever you want to call him, whatever his title mm-hmm. is, this is him. This is Joe. But, you know, they gotta always have the first. Everybody, somebody has to have the first. And they make a big thing of it. It's just stupid.
Yeah, I get it. So
today, Doug Williams, mm-hmm. quarterback from the Washington Redskins that won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Will forever be known as the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl in the NFL.
Yes.
No matter what, he could be 1,000 years old, and they'll always say that about him. And you know it, too.
Yeah, listen, that's just – but that's the way society is, Jeff. And, guys, if you're out there, do me a favor, share the show out there. Get us out there to other people. We're trying to retire and do this for a living, so we need some help. Do us a favor and share the show out there in your different media. And
this come through by next week, by Sunday, if possible.
By Sunday?
Move on it, yeah.
All right. So, yes, please, everybody out there who's paying attention, share the show. Jeff and I, we'd love to do this for a living. And we can only do that with your help. So do us a favor. Save us. We're getting old. We don't want to work anymore. We want to do this. This isn't work. This is fun. And we want to do this more often. So make sure you do us a favor and put that out there. Jeff, I'm going to give you the choice. Jets or Giants?
Let's rip on the Jets for a little bit, man. This ought to be fun.
All right. Well, you know what? I can't rip too much. It hasn't been all that much out there. I get some glimpses here and there.
I can.
The biggest thing I've got this week is Quinnen Williams. Now, Adam Gase came out with a statement, and one of his position coach did the same exact thing. And here's what they said: We're so happy with Quinnen. He's coming extremely focused this year. So what does that mean, Jeff? Does that mean he wasn't focused last year? Does that mean he wasn't paying attention to doing his job last year? What does that mean by telling me this year he's focused?
I don't know, Tom. Quinnen Williams looked like he was asleep half the time last year.
Uh-huh.
It was unbelievable. Somebody that was picked in the position he was picked compared to the players he was compared to and what he didn't do is the best way to put it. What he didn't do in his first NFL season. He certainly didn't produce. That's right on top of the list. Okay? He wasn't a disruptor. He was nothing. He suffered through a high ankle sprain and spend some time on the disabled list. But the guy just was, I feel comfortable mm-hmm. and confident to label him a bust.
No, I think it's too soon, Jeff. I'm not saying that he was an all-star pick, but I'm just saying is it's 1 year. I think with rookies, you know, I think you got to give him a year or two. I think we've asked too much of rookies the last couple of years.
Certain positions, yes. Okay,
uh-huh.
You're a defensive tackle.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you did nothing. You did nothing. You need to
I
get
agree.
In there. You need to produce. You know, you have a guy on your team, Leonard Williams. that I have the text messages, Tom.
You do?
I have the text messages where you stuck up for him.
I did. I absolutely stuck up for him.
Meanwhile, the guy couldn't sack groceries if he was at the end of a fucking conveyor belt in Pathmark. Okay? You want him to sack the quarterback. Disgusting. Quinnen Williams.
We're talking about Quinnen Williams now. Not Leonard Williams. Just think on Quinnen.
The name connects them. Quinnen.
Here's the thing. I'm willing to give the guy another year, even two. I think, again, here's what you want to see, Jeff. And I'm only telling you as a football fan. You want to see progress.
This guy up to three fucking years to develop and pay off.
Yeah.
Because then what's going to happen? He's going to have a great third year. And he's going to be like, you know what? I'm holding out. I want a new
guy. Well, that's
get rid of him just like they did fucking Adams.
You know, Jeff. That's a fair statement. That's a very fair statement. That nowadays, you know, once you get a guy who does play well, aka Jamal Adams, you know, then he all of a sudden wants to get paid over and above. And yeah. I agree with you on that end of it. I think that end of it is you're 100% correct. But I think as football fans and as fans of our teams.